Chapter 1. The Polonium Gambit. I'm in a basement below the United States Embassy in Moscow, sitting across from an outwardly nervous man. His name is Konstantin Konovalov. He's already been questioned by embassy officials and CIA operatives, but that's routine for foreign employees of a U.S. embassy. I'm a mystery to him, and his eyes keep darting to the large black aluminum case sitting on the table in front of me. He knows the Americans would never use torture on a Russian citizen in a situation like this. Or rather, that's what he's been told by his Russian handlers, who prepared him for this job and routinely debrief him. The United States has more than 1,200 employees in the Russian embassy and related properties. The majority of them are Russian citizens. Hiring this many locals is a practical necessity and a security nightmare. Konovalov is a spy. Technically, all the Russians working in the embassy are. While they may not be Russian Federal Security Service employees or professional intelligence gatherers, they're regularly grilled for information. We do the same to U.S. citizens working for the Russians in our country. The difference is that I've been brought in to find out if Konovalov is a killer. 6 days ago, another Russian, Timothy Artemiev, spoke to embassy officials about the possibility of defecting. Artemiev ran a small software firm whose primary contract was with the Russian government. He built bots for hacking other computer networks. After the third time Russian authorities turned down travel permission for him to go to a conference in another country, he realized they were never going to let him leave. He was too valuable. Artemiev died 4 days ago while hiding out in one of our safe houses outside Moscow. He was poisoned with radioactive material, either thorium or polonium. Intelligence officials have narrowed down the potential suspects to 24 people. We've been holding them for several hours. In another 2 hours, we're going to have to let them go or risk a diplomatic crisis. Catching the killer also means finding out who inside the embassy leaked Artemiev's location. We can put pressure on the person we think did it, but fingering the wrong individual will surely backfire. I'm not an interrogator. I'm not even a spy. I'm a scientist. Specifically, I'm a computational biologist who uses computers to model living systems. I was asked to come here because of my so-called unorthodox methods. Mr. Konovalov, I'm going to need you to provide some samples, I tell him, as I open the latches of the case. Are you a doctor? He asks, in mildly accented English. Just a technician. I remove some vials and swabs. It'll only take a moment. I slide on a pair of thin gloves and get up from the table and walk around to him. Konovalov is nervous, but doesn't protest as I take an earwax sample. He's oblivious to the hair sample I collect as my hand braces his head. There we go, I say, returning to my seat. Just spit in that vial and we're done. He obliges, more confused than concerned. If he's our man, then he knows that none of the samples I collected will show traces of contact with polonium or thorium. I'm actually performing a more indirect test. 3 of them, in fact. The people in the other room watching on closed-circuit television are monitoring every single step of the process. Right now, a thermal imaging system is measuring his internal body heat. Another system, built into the table, is using millimeter radar to look for skin responses. I take a swab of his saliva, put it into a vial, and give it a shake. Are you seeing if I'm part monkey? He asks, making a joke. No, Mr. Konovalov. I'm just testing for iodine. Iodine pills can help with some of the symptoms of radioactive exposure. People who know they'll be handling radioactive materials sometimes take the pills prophylactically in hopes of limiting their risk. The vial turns blue, and I make note of this, doing my best to ignore Konovalov's reaction. I think I catch a flicker in his eyes, but he's too well trained to react openly. I put the vial away. Thank you, Mr. Konovalov. He starts to get up, but I stop him before he reaches the door. One more thing. Konovalov's hand is on the doorknob. Something is running through his head. If he's our guy, then right now he's trying to decide.